This is a glider that takes in water to become more dense and sinks and glides and pushes water out to become less dense and rises. And we thought it would be so cool to develop a model scale version of this, which we could share with students as part of our STEM outreach program to encourage kids to study science and engineering. And so we have Naval Surface Warfare Center, Carderock, has a relationship with the Juneau Economic Development Council here in Juneau, in Alaska. And the Naval Surface Warfare Center also has one of our labs, an acoustic research facility on Back Island here in Ketchikan. So as we thought about ways to share this new technology for STEM with kids, we took advantage of our partnership with the Juneau Economic Development Council and our sister lab and put together 2-week-long workshops for middle school students, a week here in Ketchikan, where I am now, and a week in Juneau next week. And we're getting kids to build model-scale underwater gliders and test them in a small swimming pool.
Describe what one of these gliders looks like.
We have made our model scale gliders out of a water bottle, and inside the water bottle is a moving weight to change the ability for the model to pitch and trim, as well as a small syringe that pulls water in and out, as well as a small circuit board, which the students program, so that they can control how fast the water moves in and out of the syringe, which affects how long the glide is. And all of these electronics and hardware are stuffed inside this water bottle, which is about 7 inches long, and sealed up. And we have a self-contained, autonomous, model scale sea glider.
The president has called on agencies to do other things like this to spur interest in the STEM fields. Tell me how this fits into your larger STEM program.
Well, we are at the Naval Surface Warfare Center involved in testing at model scale and full scale all of the designs of Navy surface ships and submarines. So as we look towards the future and how we can encourage students to pursue careers in naval architecture and ocean engineering, this is a perfect fit for us to introduce students into concepts like buoyancy and displacement and hydrodynamics, teach them some electronics, and have them have fun in the process. So it fits in with our mission as a warfare center, and it fits in with the kinds of things that kids are really interested in doing, hands-on activities, trying something new, being able to test and retest and build and retest and get their hands wet, in our case, literally and figuratively.
So it sounds like there's hope that some of these students will turn around and get jobs with the Navy or the government in general.
That's absolutely right. I mean, through programs like this, where we reach out to students in our community and programs where we can offer them internships to continue the interest that they have in science and engineering, we hope that they see the exciting cutting-edge work that's going on at our Navy laboratories and are thinking, well, maybe that's something for me. Maybe that's a career path that I'd like to pursue. So it's about developing relationships with students at an early age, and having ways for them to continue to pursue their interest in science and engineering and technology and math.
What skills is the Navy most in need of?
You know, it's really across the board. We're interested in all kinds of technical skills, in computer-aided design, in electronics, in mechanical design. But we're also interested in the skills that a student might develop from a 2-year technical program, where they're learning how to weld and they're learning how to assemble electronic circuit boards. Because our technician cadre is important to support the scientists and engineers that are also putting together these experimental teams to do this cutting edge research. So we're looking for technologically savvy kids who can work in teams, who like to think out of the box, and who want to contribute to a program that makes the world a better place for our scientists, for our men and women that are aboard our ships and submarines every day.
You've partnered with NOAA on this too. What can you tell me about that?
NOAA has an interest in the full-scale sea gliders to look at a way to get across the Atlantic or across a large expanse of water detailed temperature and salinity data that otherwise was only taken by, you know, buoys that sat in a stationary location. So NOAA's interested in what the data from full-scale sea gliders can tell them about the change in ocean environment and how obviously that has a direct implication of the health of the oceans and the fish as they migrate and the locations where the ocean may not be supporting the full extent of life that it could be. So when we get to Juno, we'll be meeting with some NOAA folks in ways that they can use a program like Sea Glider to bridge the gap in their educational mission from students to the full-scale ships that they operate and which could be the launching platforms for the large full-scale sea gliders. There's also an interest in putting some sensors on our little model gliders. So if you were to do some work in a little estuary or a small bay, you could use the small model scale gliders that our students are developing with the temperature sensors and salinity sensors, just like their big brother or sister that's gliding across the ocean.
What else can we expect from you with regards to STEM outreach?
We're continuing to develop and expand our Sea Perch underwater vehicle program. This is a tethered remotely operated vehicle that students can use to explore an environment, you know, close to home. It's a model scale version of what was used in the Gulf of Mexico to cap the oil rig. And that's something that we're developing some more sensors for. We'd like to get more involved in programming, getting students to learn the basic skills in programming autonomous vehicles. And we're also always looking for ways to connect the work that we do at our lab to work that can engage students. So this program of the Sea Glider started out at a science teachers convention, like where we saw a full-scale glider. So we take advantage of those conventions and conferences where we can see the connections being made between full-scale technology, and then we can bring it into a kind of a manageable piece of STEM outreach learning modules that we can share with students. So I can't quite predict what 2 years will be like from now, because we will likely stumble upon another interesting chance to bring technology down to the level of the students at somewhere where we might least expect it. So I have a team of scientists, engineers, and educators, and we're kind of always on the lookout for ways to bring new STEM technology into the lives of our students.
How exactly do these gliders work?
Well, you would probably not see it because it would be underwater. Every glide cycle, it actually comes to the full-scale gliders. Every glide cycle, it comes to the surface and telemetry's data back to where it is and where it's been and what it's collected so far, salinity, temperature. And then there's an ability for the test director to make a tweak in the full-scale glider, change a rudder angle, try to steer it in a direction maybe that it's being pushed off its normal track because of current. They have the ability to steer it back. But the glider principle works on a buoyancy engine, and I use the word engine in quotes because there is no propeller on these gliders, not model scale, not full scale, neither. It pulls water in, which makes the whole glider more dense, which causes it to sink. But you can't just sink. The gliders have wings on them, so as it's sinking, it's also gliding forward. But then you need to change the density to let it come toward the surface, so it pushes that water out, becomes less dense, rises to the surface, but again, because of its wings, it actually glides forward, sends its data back, and then repeats that cycle all the way across, in this case, across the ocean for the full-scale gliders, across a swimming pool or across a small one of our towing tanks. We can control the rate of change of that water as it's pushed out of the syringe. And so you can change the glide path just as they can full scale to be a longer, deeper glide path or a shorter, shallower glide path, depending upon, in the full scale case, what the ocean environment is like. If the currents are very close to the surface, they'll create a glider autonomous program that sends that glider deeper so that it's not quite caught up in those currents. So depending upon the ocean environment that it's trying to sense, you can actually change that glide path by the rate in which you push this water out and pull the water back in. Again, all changing density, which is why it's called a buoyancy engine, because it's the change in buoyancy that causes this glider to work.